the way they had drawn him with a huge crotch. And I said, no, no, no.
So he had a 10-pound package?
He had a 10-pound package and a 5-pound sack.
Oh, is he on there? Oh, let's have a look. I actually said it in that voice.
You have the mark of the wolf.
You have the mark of the pillock.
The what? The mark of the what?
So we hear this huge crunch. My mom slams on the brakes, jumps out of the car, and goes, oh, fuck!
So did he get off at your exit?
Pardon?
I'm not doing it.
Yes, I've seen that.
We got a new principal, and his last name is Hanky, so we have to call him Mr. Hanky. Nuh-uh. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome.
Cheery.
You're supposed to be the cheery one this week. Cheery. If your happiness comes with certain conditions, then...
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol!
Oh, I am in the tiki room. I'm in the tiki room today with the Happiness Patrol. Hello, Happiness Patrol.
Hello.
Hello.
Who do we got? Who all we got? Happiness Patrol, check in. Leela.
Hey.
Tara.
Here.
Dale.
Yeah, I think I'm just about here. I'm a bit knackered, but I'm here.
It's like, you know, what was that? I think, Tara, do you remember Zoom?
Yeah.
Yeah, the PBS show. Didn't they do
something? Yeah, I remember that.
I'm Leela. I'm Tara. That's what I want. That's what we need to be doing from now on.
No,
I'm Lewis.
No, I'm not going there.
What if I get you a stripy shirt like that? A Zoom shirt?
No.
No, okay. Tara says no.
I'd wear it.
Of course you would, Leela. You're so sweet to me. So, hey, everybody, and welcome to the Happiness Patrol. I am your host, Lewis, and the other Happiness Patrol co-hosts are right here with me. Well, it seems like they're right here with me in my tiki room. Today, I've moved all the equipment into the tiki room to enjoy this wonderful 80 degrees, partly cloudy, beautiful, sunshiny Florida weather with the windows open. So, anybody who doesn't have that, well, you know, come on down. I got plenty of room. But today
you should be careful about saying that on an open webcast, just in case somebody does turn up.
Somebody knocks on the door.
I was listening to your show, and I heard your invitation, so I decided to move to your house.
Yeah, I have.
Sorry, Dan, when you do that voice, I see somebody with a handkerchief tied on their head. Okay.
When I hear that voice, I see somebody with a hook for a hand. Oh, but today on the Happiness Patrol, we've got a lot to talk about. We are just 1 week away from the U.S. premiere of Doctor Who on BBC America, and BBC America is pushing Doctor Who as hard as they can.
So
it's going to be a blast when Doctor Who hits the Big Apple. Basically what it is, we will have our man, the Happiness Patrol will be on this because we will have our man, Andre Tessier, our Happiness Patroller, as I like to call him, for New York City, at the Village East Cinema. And, basically what it is, there's an RSVP on their Facebook page for this, BBC America's Facebook page, but it's going to be it's free and open to the public, but it's going to be a first come, first serve seating.
So get there now
because I'm sure it's going to be nuts. And we've got Andre on the scene there, and hopefully next week we will either have Andre live here on the Happiness Patrol with us, or he will probably put together some sort of audio clip and send it to us, a nice little audio report from that event. So we're really looking forward to that. The Soho event will be this Tuesday.
Oddly enough, this is the Apple store that's close enough to the Doctor Who New York pub meets. This is just around the corner from the Peculiar Pub, and that evening, Doctor Who New York is going to be having a pub meet.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Doctor,
oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Doctor Who events all week in New York. It's going to be insane. The only thing they don't have that I haven't heard about, they need to have Daleks rolling up and down.
If you have a Dalek and you live anywhere near New York, make sure you bring it out, because if there's a time to roll out your Dalek. Dalek 007. So, no, but anyway, about the Soho event, that's going to be the 13th, right? The 13th this Tuesday. And do we have any idea what time that's going to be?
Not a clue, but if you go to apple.com and there's a link there to stores.
Uh-huh.
And so you do a search for the Soho store. It should have the time and location
relative
listed.
Relative dimensions in space.
Great.
They are literally doing an event a day.
So that'll be interesting. I mean, those were the two big ones that I had heard about. Well, of course, the big one is going to be the Village East Cinema, where they're going to show the viewing of the 11th hour, and then immediately after that, they're going to have question and answers with Moffat and Smith and Karen Gillan. So, but anyway, we will have Andre, our man on the street there, and also we might, if he's super sweet enough about it, maybe we can get a special call-in report from Barnaby Edwards of Doctor Who New York, and see if he can fill us in on a couple of those things. That would be great. Do what now, Dale?
Something bad has happened.
What's wrong, Dale?
I've run out of chocolate.
Oh, that's okay.
No, it's not.
That's horrible.
Oh. That's not okay at all.
That is not okay. Oh, it's not goddamn okay. You don't have secret stashes of chocolate all over your house?
So yeah, we've got reporters in the field. Not only do we have Mr. Andre Tessier in New York City covering all our events for us, we also have...
You won't be able to miss him at events. He's actually going dressed as the second Romana from Destiny of the Daleks.
No, he's not.
So look for the pink jacket and boots. So...
And the very long white scarf.
He's going to kill us. He's going to kill us, Dale. He's going to kill us. So anyway...
He's in America. He's going to kill you.
yeah, that's true. But anyway, joining Andre, we also have Nancy Alegria is our San Francisco correspondent, and we're very proud to say on the BBC America website there's a whole lot of video content there, and Matt Smith was actually taking questions from people who had written in, and Nancy's question actually got picked, and so we're very happy about that to have our little Nancy.
And there was much squeeing.
There was a lot of squeeing going on, so we're very happy about that. So if you listened last week, you heard Nancy give her report on WonderCon and the Doctor Who viewing there. So we're proud to say that Nancy is ready and able to go for San Francisco when there are events in that area. Now... To the second city, Chicago, Illinois. We've got Sherry Sampson doing our reporting from there, and Sherry is actually going to be on the ground this weekend at the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. That's April 16th through 18th at the Lakeside Center in McCormick Place. And Friday night, there's going to be a Doctor Who panel. So Sherry will be there promoting the Happiness Patrol, and also, gathering information and see what the Chicago fans are feeling, how they're feeling about Doctor Who, the new season of Doctor Who up there. So that's pretty cool. And last but certainly not least, Michelle in L.A., our correspondent in L.A. She is covering stuff out there for us in sunny Southern California, which includes the big one, Gallifrey One. So
what's she building?
Oh, you know, this is the great thing about Michelle. Everybody on the Happiness Patrol has their own little hidden talents, and Michelle is just... I'm learning more and more about her hidden talents every day, because she's building a canine, and we're all excited.
Baby teeth master.
So we're excited about that. She's going to she promises that she'll have it ready and operational by next February, when we all hopefully will be God willing and the creek don't rise, we'll all be over in California for the Gallifrey One. So that'll be great. can't wait. So yeah, congratulations to all the Happiness Patrollers. We're you know, it's just so great that you know, we're not even 20 episodes in and we've got people actually willing to give their time, donate their time, and send this little report. So so that's really cool. I love it. I love it. Love it. You love it, Tara?
Oh, I love it. And I do have a little bit of additional news.
Yes.
I've been tweeting back and forth, or not tweeting, I've been messaging back and forth with our buddy Matthew Dow Smith, who was on the Happiness Patrol, what was it, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think
talking
so.
About his comic book.
Uh-huh.
As many of you who follow me on Twitter and or Facebook know, I have an iPad, and I'm very, very happy with it. And I've been loading it up with some apps, and one of the apps that was offered is an IDW Comics app, so you can read comic books on your iPad. So I happily downloaded this and went to go download some Doctor Who comic books, and they didn't have any Doctor Who comic
oh.
books. So I sent off a little message to our buddy Matt and said, "Hey, Matt, got any inside info on when I could read Doctor Who comics on my iPad? Because, you know, Ghostbuster comics are all well and good, but, you know, I'd really like Doctor Who comics on my iPad." And he sent me back a message that said that IDW is currently in negotiations to get the licensing to put Doctor Who comic books on the iPad.
Cool.
That's
so if you're one of the three people who owns them, then you too can read Doctor Who on your iPod Touch for people with fat fingers.
300,000 of us who've got iPads.
People with fat fingers. Only people with fat fingers. Pat. So, how did everybody enjoy The Beast Below? Tara?
I've seen it three times now, and I'm not over the moon about it.
Okay. How about you, Leela?
It wasn't as good as The 11th Hour by, you know, any chance, but it was all right. You know, I enjoyed it.
Dale?
I loved it.
I was actually betting on Dale saying that he loved it, because he was just telling me that, you know, he was, you know, it's going to be hard to get anything negative out of him for the next 13 weeks, which is okay. I don't mind that at all. So what did you love about it, Dale?
Well, I like the fact that it seems to just have carried. I mean, the beginning sequence, brilliant. Come on, Pond. I mean, for God's sake, what a brilliant line. Come on, Pond.
Oh, that was brilliant. That whole sequence is brilliant, even though he's looking up for Nigel.
Well, yes, we know, but, you know, he's got to get his thrill somewhere.
Oh, gosh.
And the, you know, if you go right to the end, the fact that Winston Churchill phones the TARDIS is bloody
brilliant.
That's
fucking brilliant. Again, there were like four pieces of absolute brilliance.
I thought Liz 10 was hilarious when she said she's been raised, literally her whole family's been raised on stories of the Doctor. And idiot hair. I love idiot hair. I love the
idiot
fact...
Idiot hair.
Yeah, I love the fact, you know, rather Star Warsy rip-offy sequence about where they get put into the trash compactor that turns out to be the whale gob.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And my favourite line of the week is, "This is going to be not too high on dignity."
Yep.
I like.
By the way, you're covered in sick.
Yeah, I've scanned you. There's no broken bones. You haven't got a concussion, and yes, you are covered in sick. Right? At which point, my brain went, "Oh, do you mind?" But literally, I thought the Smilers were very odd creatures. I thought they were rather underused. They could have been a little creepier if they'd been wandering around more. But I thought, you know, for jumpy value, literally, when they just open the door and then step out, and you think,
The
man who was the winder who turns into a smiler. Just, I thought, oh, that was pretty horrible. So that was very well done. I thought Liz 10 was amazing. I thought the guy who plays the demon headmaster,
brilliant.
Initiate the protocol. He was so British, it was actually quite chilling.
Oh, I bet.
I loved all of it. I actually loved all of it. And I even liked the space whale, which looked a bit freaky.
See, now that's my problem with it. A space whale.
Why not?
The idea that a space whale is going to land on the Earth and save all the people of Great Britain because the children are crying. That,
yes.
Okay.
Well,
that,
what the hell does the Doctor ever do?
Well, that's the Doctor. We're talking about a fucking space whale big enough to put an entire goddamn city on top of. Okay.
No, that's only because they caught it and decided to build on top
up
of
until
it.
Until the space whale. Okay. That's,
the space whale alone. It's nicer than you are at the minute.
That's when my bullshit filter went off.
Our bullshit filter went off. It's only the second episode and her bullshit filter went off. Oh
well,
my god.
Okay. Now I'm. Don't get me wrong. I liked a lot of this episode. I liked an awful lot of this episode, but I did not care for the space whale. Okay, that we're just getting a little bit too maudlin here. It's only the second episode, guys. I would have put that episode in a little further. You know, let's have some shit blow up, boys and girls. Let's bring on them damn Daleks. I'm all in favor of
that.
Well,
you know, quite honestly, I think maybe the space whale would have been a little bit more effective if you just didn't see it at the end. You know. I mean, just to, or like, see it so clearly, I guess, maybe at the end. That was the big deal for me.
Well, just, you know, the Doctor and Amy are out there floating around in space. And uh-huh. The Doctor goes, oh, and by the way, and here's a spaceship. You don't think that the Doctor might have scanned the entire thing and went, hey, and look, it's on the back of a space whale.
Yeah. Yeah, that bugged me a little bit, too. That was a little hole in the writing type sort of thing. But, you know, it's interesting because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it before Dale goes crazy. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable episode. It didn't seem like it was it seemed like there was almost like some bits left out, you know. In fact, I was thinking about it this morning while I was watching it again, and I kept thinking, you know, this particular storyline would be a perfect Tom Baker four-part story. You know what I mean? Where they would have had a little more time to sort of like get you into, you know, just more atmosphere of it, you know? And it would have been, I think it would have been a better story that way. But it seemed like there were some bits just a little, well, to me, it seemed that way. What about you, Leela?
I agree with that. I thought there were just things that, like holes that they could have filled. I can't think of any solid examples now that I'm saying this, but I felt that way too. There's just things that they left out and things we should have seen that weren't there, and I wish they'd had more time to explore this story.
Dale?
What
do you think about
that? You already know what I think about
it. Well, what do you think of those observations? I mean, you know.
Well, as always with Doctor Who, uh-huh. I mean, especially with new Doctor Who, when it's not a two-parter, you only have the 45 minutes to get everything in.
Right.
So some bits are going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, one of the bits that suffered was the Smilers. I would have liked to have seen a much, you know, more detailed look at the Smilers. But they were almost in the periphery, which was fine. And I want to know why, you know, there was the whole, I mean, it basically revolved around, you know, Great Britain just being not terribly great still and grabbing and torturing any nearest living organism. It was Amy's story, really.
Yeah, it was. It was. The way she figured it out at the end, and she topped the Doctor, you know what I mean? And so that was kind of cool.
I loved it when he lost his temper.
Yes.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
He has got literally, you know, he's got flashes of that. I hate to do it, but he's almost got flashes of Tennant temper.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody human has anything to say to me today.
Well, I was thinking a little bit more, Eccleston, because, you know.
I was thinking Hartnell.
So it runs through it. That's
stupid
for sure.
Humans.
Yeah, yeah. Because every now and then, well, you know, they're really playing up the fact that, you know, he's, you know, when I love that line where he goes, well, you look human. He goes, well, you look Gallifreyan, or you look Time Lord. Yeah.
We were here first.
So, you know, so they're playing up the bit. They're definitely playing up the bit that he, you know, he's not human. He's alien, for crying out loud. And a lot of people,
I love the bit where she said, you know, so there are more Time Lords. You went, well, no, there's me. And it was a bad day, and things happened. They're like, oh, I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great summing up of all of the, I mean, so far from 9 and 10 having to rehash the story. And
right.
That was sort of the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay, here's all the information you need to know, and you need to know that this is incredibly fucking painful to me. So just, you should know that much, and no more,
and in a sentence, it was great.
Yeah, it was great. You know, the other bit that really made me just go, oh, man, I love Matt Smith, is the fact that when they're sitting on the bench, you know, watching the little girl cry, and she goes, so what are you going to do? And he goes, well, I'm going to do what I do best, keep it out of trouble, you know.
Oh, the bit ahead of that, yeah. where he's explaining to her how they don't intervene, and she goes off on the tangent about watching a nature documentary. Meanwhile, the doctor is in the fucking nature documentary. You know,
interfering, yes.
Yes, exactly.
That was hysterical. I mean, I was on the floor howling. Just, I love this. I love this.
I like that. There was a very strong bit about... you know, why the little girl was crying. You know, children cry because there is a reason. You know, they either want attention or they are hurt or they're afraid of something. Mm. But to cry silently just means you can't stop. And I thought, ooh, and then he said, and every adult, you know, every parent, hundreds of parents have walked past, and not one of them has stopped, which means they all know about it and they're all ignoring it. And I'm like, very, very cleverly done.
That's a classic Moffat. Where he is giving you some truths of the universe that he has found as a person and as a parent. And he's done that in every show that he's ever done. He does most of the lighthearted bits in Coupling, and then the really dark, nasty bits are in Jekyll. But in everything that he's ever done, there are little Moffat moments where he comes in and whatever character he happens to be using at the moment is giving you a direct glimpse into his psyche.
Yep, and right, saying, write what you know. Write what you know.
It's not so much what you know. It's that he manages to nail it so succinctly. And I don't know of a single other writer who can just absolutely grab you with one of these absolute truths. And the moment it comes out, you go, that's it. He's summed it up so nicely. That is absolutely the absolute truth. So,
Lila, were there any parts that really stood out for you?
I think just one of my favorite lines, like we said a minute ago, was just him going, I'm going to do what I do best. Stay out of trouble. Badly. Me and the three other people I were watching it with, we all just kind of snorted and laughed and were like, yeah, whatever.
Funny. So it was just
a nice little moment.
You know, we were talking about Moffat getting dark with the kids, you know, getting kind of scary with the kids. And the whole first scene of that where, you know, you're going up and getting your test scores. And having that little boy get in the elevator and the floor opening up. Oh, man.
Woo-hoo!
I mean, what kid that age in Britain is not going to identify with that and, like, you know, the trouble that you would get into for making a bad mark?
Yeah, you see, if it was actually set in Britain, then by the time he'd been in that lift 13 seconds, he probably would have vandalized it instead.
Yep. See, an American kid wouldn't have stepped into the lift, would have smashed the window and jumped out. So, you know. I'm done with these bastards. So long, suckers.
But those old smiler things, those were creepy too, man. Those really touched upon that, you know, just like in the Weeping Angels, you know.
It was basically clown fear, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was clown fear.
They are those horrible bloody things you see at the seaside, which nobody likes.
Yeah, those fortune teller things.
And they always, you know, in 1953, they thought they looked jolly and fun, and they didn't. They looked creepy and disgustingly horrible, and they still look disgusting.
Well, exactly. Now you're always going to worry that the little sons of bitches are going to open up.
Well, now I'm going to worry they're going to... First, I'm going to worry they're going to turn around completely with, like, a frown on their face. And then I'm going to start running.
They can turn around all they want in their little box, but when they open that son of a bitch and come out, that's when the shit hits the fan right there.
You see, you know, I would have been gone long before they opened up. Because that's just creepy shit there. I don't like that at all. Ooh. Yeah, clown fear. I don't like that. I don't like it. Make it go away. Yeah, there's some nightmarish stuff going on now, you know, which is interesting, you know. So, boy, I mean, it just with the two episodes so far, it's scarier than the whole David Tennant thing to me. I know that's a sweeping generalization, but still.
I think he started on a darker footing to begin with.
Yes.
Whereas Russell always started pretty light and frothy, you know, with things like New Earth. And then went, you know, about 6 or 7, it really started getting very dark. Moffat's just started earlier being dark. And well, I think it sets a precedent for what's going to happen in the series. It's going to start darker and get darker still.
Yeah.
Which means you'll value the moments of lightness more, which you do already.
I'm just wondering,
if he's going to go dark and dark and dark and dark and dark, it really worries me when he decides to do a silly one. Because, I mean...
I don't think he'll do silly ones.
Well, you got to do at least one silly one, you know? You got to break the tension. If it's dark, 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 and dark, I mean...
I think he'll do a lighter one, but I don't think he'll do the absurdly daft ones that RTD did once a season.
Right.
You may still get a Dr. Light episode, but I don't think it'll be... I mean, for God's sake, you know, the Dr. Light episode for season, three, which was Martha's season, was Blink.
Brilliant.
So the Dr. Light, you know, light, frothy episode was the darkest... most evil thing you could ever wish for, and it was stunning. It was absolutely stunning. So it's very, very different. I like it this way. I mean, I loved RTD's era. I absolutely adored RTD's era, and you know, for the same reason I loved old classic Who as well. When it's there in front of you, it's amazing, and I just love where it's going.
I'm just thinking of how completely opposite this is to, say, the Seventh Doctor, you know, where everything is light and hardly anything has any real consequence.
Last season was pretty damn dark for him.
Yeah, I know, but none of it had any really lasting consequence. And I can bet you that almost everything that we've seen, I mean, how many little, there's been so much stuff going on in the background that you know is referring to something else. I mean, did you see the magpie electronics?
Yes, yeah. I did see that.
There's the crack is showing up again.
The crack at the end. Yeah, that's
all
the theme.
All these little bitty things that are all in the background. It's all reference to something else that he's going to do later.
Well, the crack was not necessarily a background thing.
Did you get the other one, the other reference?
Which one?
Where the voice changed at the beginning. The little boy got, you know, little boy, bad boy, Zero. And I thought, hello, Zero? And where did they go to? Floor 000. So running theme there as well.
Here we go again.
Prisoner Zero has escaped. That's all right. We'll send some giant eyes after him.
So the beast below.
That's the space whale.
The beast below. Shush. Where's that blowhole? Where's that blowhole? So the beast below. It has some really good parts to it and everything. But as all in all, as an episode, it didn't. I don't think it held up as well as the 11th Hour. And I don't know if that's just because we were so excited about the 11th Hour. Then so excited to see Matt Smith for the first time. And then it was so good. And then, like, this episode...
You remember it was also 20 minutes longer.
The 11th
Hour.
Yes.
For the 11th Hour.
Yeah, that's
45
right.
Minutes for The Beast Below.
Okay. Well, still, it seemed like The Beast Below was a little bit, and I'm not saying a lot, because I really liked it, you know, but it seemed like it was a little disappointing coming off of such a great episode like The 11th Hour. I mean, to me.
I think that's bound to happen, though, because the 11th Hour was just so good, and it was our first time seeing Matt Smith. That I don't think it would have mattered what episode it was. We wouldn't have.
I disagree. I mean, there have been good regeneration episodes, and there have been bad regeneration episodes, and I think that was a pretty
good
regeneration episode. And it's just that, you know, the second episode was not what I would consider a. I mean, it's a fine enough episode, but it's never going to be one of my top 10 favorites. I can tell you that right now. And I'm not going to be saying, oh, you need to see The Beast Below. Maybe not. So, I'm...
Dale?
But I'd also point out you've already watched it 3 times.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I am a Doctor Who fan, and I have a big fucking police box in my living room, and there's scarves on it. Yeah, of course I'm going to see it a big bunch of times.
Tara's on a roll. She's on a hot butter juice roll.
Russell T's comment was absolutely spot on.
What?
The difference between people who love a Doctor Who episode and people who hate a Doctor Who episode is the people who hate the Doctor Who episode will whinge about it and only watch it 30 times. The people who love it will go on about it and watch it 35. It's exactly the same.
Okay.
That's funny. That's
but I'm
funny.
Not. I mean, I'm not. I'm not out on the boards whinging about it. You know, if anyone asks,
I'm so freaking sick of that already.
Oh, God.
I am sick to death of people going, I thought Doctor Who was all right, but I'm prepared to think that Matt Smith is probably a dick in real life. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Oh, I've been getting really... I vented on Facebook earlier.
Are those just the people that can't get over David Tennant not being on anymore?
Oh, I met somebody, I went shopping in Tesco. And this woman was going, I'm not going to watch Doctor Who anymore. I'll watch it if they bring David Tennant back. And I'm like, for God's sake, woman. I nearly punched her. I didn't. I just poked her eyes out with a sonic screwdriver. It was fantastic. New one, of course.
But there's a certain percentage of the population of the planet who is not happy unless they are whinging and whining about something. I mean,
That's the easy way out. Everybody can see.
There were specific parts of this episode that I absolutely adore, but on the whole, I'd have to say this is not one of my favorites. It probably won't be one of my favorites in years to come.
You still liked it.
I still liked it. I didn't love it. I didn't love it to the point where I have screen caps of the damn thing. But I still have it. I'll be perfectly happy to purchase it on Blu-ray. I will be perfectly happy to show it to other people, but it will never be one of my absolute favorites. And I know that there are some coming up from Moffat that are going to be absolutely screaming, fanatical favorites of mine. This is just not one. So, there you go.
Well.
And he's singing about her tits, and he's singing about her twat, and he's singing about this.
Okay.
You know, I don't think in the 19-plus episodes of The Happiness Patrol, we've heard the word twat.
Well, there you go.
Well, now we've just heard it twice. And I think that's twice too many.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yes, we're explicit. That's what happens. So,
See, the little red tag on our iTunes feed is completely necessary.
Yeah,
well, let me go ahead and state now for the record, because people have been emailing me about mentioning that, you know, the reason why the iPad is going to beat out the Kindle device is because you can put porn on the iPad. And no, I will not tell you what porn I happen to have on my iPad. No, I will not tell you where I got it from, and you're just shit out of luck, so... There you go.
The views of Tara are not necessarily the same views of the Happiness Patrol. So,
See, that's what decided the VHS beta controversy, okay?
People really?
Yes, is because the porn industry backed VHS.
Oh, my God.
That is the only reason why we went to VHS instead of beta, was because the porn industry said, you know, it's sort of like the, you know, with Blu-ray and regular DVD. Well, the porn industry has embraced Blu-ray, so now we're all going to go to Blu-ray. That's, you got to follow the porn. I'm sorry.
You got to follow the porn. I just got my first clip.
Honest and for truly, that's why we went to VHS over beta, and that's why we're going to go to Blu-ray over the other, what the hell is another one? Because the porn industry said, yeah, that's where we're going.
Oh, goodness gracious me. So, Leela hasn't even watched my the Dalek porn that I sent her, so I don't know.
Oh, good.
I don't think you ever sent it to me.
Really? Okay.
You're not missing anything, Layla.
You're really not. I mean, for Daleks, it's not that good. For porn, it's even worse.
It's not that good.
But for general...
But for the two or three wankers in Great Britain who are absolute Dalek fanatics, I'm sure that they have pristine, sealed copies of this for when they wear out their current copy.
Oh, my God.
That's the thing, man. There's some kink out there for everything.
Yeah,
you know?
There's
what is it? Rule 34? Let me find it. Which is that?
Dale?
I'm
you're speechless.
Still, you're still here.
I'm like, Dale's been silent for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it is pretty funny.
Rule 34. Rule 34. If anything exists, there is porn for it. You can look that up on the internet. It is absolutely hysterical, and it is absolutely true.
All right.
Do you remember when this used to be about Doctor Who?
It used to be.
We could talk about Doctor Who porn.
No, I don't think we can.
Well, the only thing that I know that even exists is that dumbass Dalek thing, so.
Oh, no. We got naked pictures of David Tennant. We got all sorts of fun stuff.
Oh, but they're all... They're all digitally enhanced, right?
No,
they're real.
Yeah,
but it's not Doctor Who. It's just David Tennant from a very early role in his career.
Yes, and he's running around buck naked on stage.
Buck naked on stage. Oh, what was it? A live show?
It was a play.
Oh, it was a okay. Well, yeah, that's a live show.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Lou, but they tend not to show videotapes of theater performances.
Yeah, they tend not to.
If you go to the theatre, they don't wheel out a 14-inch portable deli on a trolley and they say, right, here's the performance. We can't be bothered to do it tonight, so you'll just have to watch last night's on video. All right. If you get bored, turn over. EastEnders is on at 7:30.
But they did wheel out a naked David Tennant with a tit on his head.
With a tit on his head.
I think you'll find that was a policeman's helmet, dear.
Same thing.
God. So anyway, I really think that
I think you'll be doing a lot of editing.
I think I will be.
I think the entire last 10 minutes will probably be.
Leila, what's going on over there? Leila. Leila, did you leave? Leila.
Yeah, she's pissed off to get another Coke, isn't she?
Leila. She snuck off again.
Right. What are we going to do when she comes back?
I don't know, but we need to do something funny when she comes back.
Well, just say we've been waiting 10 minutes for a response.
Yeah.
Leila.
We should read some porn. That's what we should do. We should read some porn.
No, you won't, Tara.
She's back. There she goes.
Where the hell did you go?
Dad's leaving on a trip, so I went to say goodbye.
Well, you could have just said, "Hey, we're going to. I gotta go tell my dad bye."
No, because you guys were in the middle of a conversation. It's very easy to leave. So I usually come back before you guys.
We normally notice because, literally, by some God-given right of coincidenceness, every time we ask you a question, you're not there.
So next week's episode is called what? What's the name of next week's episode?
Victory of the Daleks.
Victory of the Daleks.
They're running out of adjectives for the Daleks.
Yeah, I guess.
I thought the same thing.
No, we've still got boredom of the Daleks. Inanity of the Daleks. The I can't actually be bothered to think of a decent title of the Daleks.
We haven't had Apocalypse of the Daleks yet.
Oh, that's a good
one. Encyclopedia of the Daleks.
You know, if you're listening to the Happiness Patrol right now, and you
Wikipedia
have a
of the Daleks.
You need to email us and let us know what would you
eBay
call your
of the Daleks.
eBay
of
did
the
you,
Daleks.
Did you say eBay of the Daleks?
Yes, I did.
That's a great one.
Live Journal of the Daleks, Saturday the 13th of July, 200 calories.
eBay of the Daleks.
Facebook of the Daleks.
MySpace of the Daleks.
I think you're hot.
We are planning an invasion for the 13th of July. Join our group.
I would join that group.
But kids, thanks for listening to the Happiness Patrol. And make sure you stay tuned for next week's episode when we'll be having reports from all over, mainly New York, when BBC America pushes Doctor Who with the debut of the 11th Hour in America. So we're very happy about that, and we will have all kinds of reports, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And you know, you can always stay tuned to the Happiness Patrol just by going to our blog spot. It's got all of our back issues of the Happiness Patrol and anything else that may pique our interest as far as the world of Doctor Who. Lila, why don't you tell the good folks that address?
You can follow us on our blog spot at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
And make sure that if you want to email us, please do. We always we love getting viewer. it is like a TV show. It's kind of crazy, but we love getting your feedback and hearing what you have to say about the Happiness Patrol and telling us how much you love Dale. And you can reach us at our Gmail account at the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. So until then, I am Lewis B.
I'm Tara W.
I'm Leela S.
And I'm the bloody queen, mate. Frankly, I rule.
The queen?
Yeah, he's the bloody queen.
Yeah. Right.
You guys have a fun week, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hello. Oh, no, bye.
You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Make me happy, Tara. Make me happy. don't mention blaming on Rio.
Yeah, it's people like you that keep people like me on medication.
Ah, cheese, the magical fruit.
No, that's beans, you dopey.
That's
shit.
Beans. Well, you know what? It's a corset. It's like a corset back, so it doesn't matter.
It's a what?
It's like a corset. It's like got a lace-up back.
What Tara was saying, David, is that it wasn't so much the size of his crotch as the fact that there was web fluid dripping everywhere.
Oh!
I didn't say that!
God, the mighty damn.
Rubs on his hand.
David?
You've got to rub it off somewhere, haven't you?
Go away, the adults are speaking. Go away.
Rub it off. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Talking
I'm
of
sorry,
rubbing off.
I'm sorry, lady. I've got to go now, so.
Picture. Oh, she's back.
Okay.
She's back.
Let's see what we can do.
From outer space. She just walked in to find her here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made it anyway.
It's raining men.
Hallelujah.
You are fantastic.